Welcome to Top Advisor Marketing, where you will learn how to become a prolific online influencer, attract more ideal clients, and grow your practice. Brought to you by Top Advisor Podcasting, a done-for-you podcasting solution built just for trusted advisors. And now, your co-hosts of Top Advisor Marketing, Kirk Lowe and Matt Halloran.
Hello and welcome to another Top Advisor Marketing Podcast. This is Matt Halloran, joined again today by Kirk Lowe. Kirk, how are you doing, sir?
Excellent. Can't wait to get going. Well, I hear you've got an incredible title for this podcast.
Yeah, today. Well, I'm really looking forward to this because I think what everybody is consistently tuning into our podcast for is this solution, which is 270 days to a better practice, better clients, more money, more time, and more fun. So Kirk is going to break down into bite-sized pieces.
You better repeat that for them.
Oh, is that too fast?
That's actually the title of our podcast.
All right. So it is 270 days to a better practice, better clients, more money, more time, more fun. And that's really, again, what all of us want. You're going to break down this into 90-day segments, correct?
Yes, sir.
On how to walk through. So every single solitary person, I don't care where you are, well, except for if you're in the car, you probably don't want to start writing this down, but take some time after you get done listening to this podcast, or when you get done listening to it initially, go back and get a piece of paper or type it out on your computer, because this is step-by-step stuff, people. This is a distillation of Kirk Lowe's brain that is going to come out in hopefully 45 minutes or less in 90-day sections. Is that fair? I didn't oversell that, did I?
No. Well, what was the short title we had?
270 days to epic marketing. Or epic marketing in 270 days.
Yeah, but we're not going to put that on the website. We're going with the long one, right?
I like the long title. I think it's better. Yeah.
I tell people to be short all the time, brief, but we're going to be long today.
Good. Bring it on, brother.
I'll try to do this quick, though.
Yeah, we'll see. I know you've got things
to drop off, food to eat.
That's right.
Clients to see.
There you go.
Babies to kiss.
There you go.
Let's get into it.
There you go. Okay. So first 90 days. So there has to be a foundation that you're building this on. Why don't you talk to our listeners today about what that foundation needs to look like?
I think the, what you need to think about first is the end game, like have in your mind the wonderful things that you want to accomplish. We teed that up in the title, better practice, better clients, more money. I didn't say more clients. I said better clients.
Better clients. Yeah.
Could be more too. More money. More time and more fun. I mean, more free time, not more time working. Just to be clear. If you don't have that end game, it's really difficult to power this. Like if somebody just calls me and I think we need a new website, what can you help us? How much is it going to cost? Mm-hmm. Those aren't usually the right, that's not usually the right purpose, the foundation for me to be able to, do the best thing for that person, because their mind's not really there yet. It could just be the way they're approaching me, but you want to be in a position where you understand what's driving this, right? What's driving your desire to be a better marketer, and you got to figure that out. So always make sure before you call somebody to do this, you've figured out the reason why you're doing it, and make sure you write those down somewhere, because they'll keep you focused on how to get there. So what I was hoping to everybody to do is to draw a big arrow. The arrow starts on the left and points to the right, and it's thick. So it should take up most of your page, because you're going to fill this thing in. You're going to divide that arrow. You're going to have a big head of the arrow, and the arrow you're going to put amazing marketing and relationships, because that's what you want to get to, which is going to drive your end game, which is better practice, better clients, more money, more time, more fun, or whatever it is that gets you jacked up. But most advisors I know, that'll get them pretty excited. Okay, so now you've got, so the arrow is filled out with amazing marketing plus relationships. And at the on the right hand side of that is your put end game. So to the right of the tip of the arrow, and you're going to write down what your end game is. So now the rest of the arrow, I want you to make, distribute that into three sections, three 90-day sections, hence the 270 days. So mark those out. And we're going to take these each segment at a time. Are you ready to go, Matt?
I am. I want to pause real quick because I know that you do this for your clients when it comes to the end game. But one of the things that we do at Top Advisor Coaching, which is very important to the way that we build relationships with our clients, is to really start at the end game. And we've got a thing, and I'll make sure we attach this to the podcast. It's called the 30-Day Journey. And the 30-Day Journey is a series of 30 questions that make you focus on what you want, right? What is the end game? What do you want it to look like in 3, 5, and 10 years? Because if you have that clear picture, then everything that Kirk's going to be talking about today makes a lot more sense, and you will be able to create milestones. One of the reasons I believe, Kirk, that people don't follow through with marketing plans as well as they should is because they're looking for the big win. They're not looking for sequential wins throughout this longer race. And that's why I like how you've broken this down into these 90-day segments, because once you get done with the first aspect of 90 days, you need to celebrate. You need to say, hey, we got this done. Woohoo, that's a win. And now we move on to the next 90 days. So let's jump right in to the first 90 days. And what should the listeners be focusing on?
So the first 90 days, you want to focus on building your story. So we'll call that, label that branding or brand. And you got to break that down into all the different, you know, segments that you need to, things that you need to accomplish in order to understand your brand. So, you know, first thing you want to do is go through a SWOT analysis, something like that. You know, if you want all kinds of resources for how to develop your brand, go to financialmarketingu.com. Sign up. There's tons of branding resources in there. Mm-hmm. You can't lose going in there for that. So you got to figure out what your strengths are. You got to know what your passion, your purpose is, all those kinds of things. And you got to identify your ideal client. So you got to be able to relate what you're great at or really good at, or what you might have an advantage at with what your audience, the audience that you want to get more of. What are they going to relate to? What's important to them? And when you find that intersection of those things, that would be what you would call your sweet spot. And you want to work towards getting that. And so go figure that out. You gotta understand that. So then you gotta start when you figure out what your strengths are, who your audience is, what they care about. You got to be able to turn that into a story. That's really where the start of building your brand. And then from that, you know, you're going to create a tagline, a bunch of key phrases, and what I call concepts. So if your brand, and we just did this for a guy in New York, I believe, somewhere around there, and his tagline is Complete Financial. And what we did is we took that Complete Financial concept and we created something called your Complete Financial House, and we took a vector image of a house. And we put all the things that are really important that he takes his clients through or that they need to think about. Those are different floors of the house and they escalate. And when you look at it, you're like, oh my goodness, like this tells a pretty incredible and a very comprehensive story, but it's so visually engaging. And so that's what I would call a concept. So we took a tagline complete and an idea, which is not your brand, but it kind of represents your brand. And we created the concept. So those concepts are absolutely critical. It could be your financial planning process. It could be your investment philosophy. But if you can take these concepts and package them, which isn't that hard to do, and then you know, that'd be something you want to trademark as an example, right? So he could go look at trademarking something like your complete financial house if he wanted to. I don't know if we've gotten there yet, but we're working on building the website and stuff like that right now. Or consulting on that website. Anyhow, so you got to know what those concepts are, build those out, and do it like you're brainstorming. So don't say no to anything right out of the gate. Get it out there and figure out what concepts actually support or help you further tell your story. And then can we turn those into visual things? And we'll get to that in the next 90 days. But okay. you got to figure out what are the concepts that support your story. That'll tell you if you've got any value in your practice. Because if you can't think of what kind of concepts that you've already got in place, then I think you need to consider that. So maybe you can introduce the idea of that little floating box, Matt. I'll let you take that one. So below the arrow.
Oh yeah. So the floating box on this thing that Kirk drew up earlier really is to fix your practice, right? It's very difficult if you get 180 days into this, and all of a sudden things are starting to happen, and you don't have the infrastructure, the systems, the team, you know, the contact management system, the paperwork flows, the back office support, the model portfolios, your financial planning tool. If you don't have all of that stuff in place from a practice management standpoint, then you're going to be in a lot of trouble. And in fact, this 270-day plan that Kirk's talking about can damage your business because you're not going to be able to follow through. People don't want to be excited about working with you and then realize that it's all smoke in mirrors, right? I want to get back to Kirk very quickly to ideal client. Because you talk about client focus and niche expertise, which you're going to talk about a little bit more deeply. But and I hear this all the time. I just had a prospect call down in Houston this morning, and the advisor says to me, I said, well, what's your target market, or what is your niche? And he said, retirees. I was like, oh my God, I wanted to reach through the phone and I wanted to start strangling this guy, because you know what? That is not a niche market. 10,000 people in the States alone can retire every day. That's not a niche. So break that down a little bit more.
I'm glad we're so many hundreds of miles apart, because you're such a violent dude.
Yeah, well, I don't think I would have been able to string my arm all the way to Houston from where I am right now. But
you in analogies, I will add.
I haven't physically actually destroyed any animals, but there have been a lot of animals who've had their skin taken off in our podcast. That's very, very true. Well, let's talk about client focus and niche within this first 90 days. So how do you help our listeners make that epiphany, have that epiphany of who they should really focus on? Because after this first 90 days, the next 180 days, you have to have this stuff done, correct?
Absolutely. You cannot move beyond having a great story and think that you're going to have marketing that's worth anything. It'll be worthless. It'll be a massive waste of money. We're going to do a show in the next couple episodes, and we're going to talk about the real cost of average marketing.
Absolutely.
And I've been waiting to do this show for a long time, and somebody, a client came to me who didn't end up using us a year and a half ago, and oh my gosh, they're in a bad spot. And it's not the first time I've heard something like this, whether it was not us they used or took shortcuts with somebody else. And we're going to get into that another time. So just, I want you to refocus on this arrow. So we just talked about in the arrow part of it, or the rectangular part of the arrow, we talked about the first third, which is the 90 days, and it was branding. Mm-hmm. That's where we're on. So ideal client story concepts and niche market. So your question was really, how do we identify who a niche audience is?
Yeah, right? Absolutely. How do you pull that out of an advisor's brain, Kirk?
I think if it doesn't already exist in your practice, I don't think you'll be able to figure this out. So you have to look to, I think most advisors can say, you know what, 5 or 10% or 15, or if you're really lucky, 20 or more percent of your audience, your clients, you look at them and say, you know what, if I could work with people like that all the time, whether it's just how you get along with them, how their family is structured, or that they own businesses, or that they love gardening or love sports, whatever it is about them that you feel like if I could replicate that, that's the first place you want to look. Who makes your work more enjoyable, potentially more profitable, and do you know how to get to these people? If they're a pretty obscure client and they were like an anomaly, and you say, oh, I'd like to duplicate those, that's a little bit pie in the sky, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And I know people who are pretty enterprising and they want to try to go for something like that. Those are a little bit more difficult. You're kind of starting from the ground up. Mm-hmm. So you'd kind of have to be almost running two practices at the same time, right? One that you know you can make money at and one that you'd like to be in the future. So those are a little more drastic.
Well, hold on. You have had a client who's trying to do that because of the way that he wants to change his focus, right? And we won't use his name, but he's got his initial practice where the ages are much older, and he really wants to start focusing on a younger pre-retiree thing. And you can do that, everybody. I want you to understand from a practice management standpoint, you know, in order to make this switch, you can have a biopic instead of a myopic focus. It is difficult and it's more work. But Kirk, I want to interject one other quick thing here. I had a really great opportunity a number of years ago to be on Practice Makeover, the second Practice Makeover with Investment News. And I had created something called Advanced Client Segmentation. I mean, it's a client segmentation tool that's just a little bit more, and you just hit on a lot of it. So I take my clients through this in order to identify their niche market. I will take all of my clients through an advanced client segmentation process. We'll make sure we attach that video and the actual article that I wrote on advanced client segmentation here, so that helps people uncover that niche, because it's really just right below the surface, everybody. You just have to know how to dig.
We're also going to give you guys a picture of this arrow so that you're not so, you know, but you'll have seen it before. I just mentioned it, I guess. Well, not if you're listening to us on iTunes or Stitcher or something like that. But
sure.
Anyway, if you go back to topadvisormarketing.podbean.com, you will find it there. There'll be an image of this, okay?
All right. So anyway, are we moving into the next phase here?
No, I want to speak quickly about something. And when I got you to address that free floating box.
Yes.
And that's a 90-day segment. That might not be in 90 days, but let's just, you know, for ease of explanation, call it a 90-day segment. It's floating out there. What I want to make sure is clear, Matt, when you got into that, what I call fixing your practice, when you think about fixing a practice, you think about the global scale. I think about it differently, different perspective. I think about it from how much value can you offer? And if you don't have a lot of value in your practice, I think a value is, as you know, well thought out, have a clear philosophy, have processes, procedures, have technology that supports all that. If you can't create, if you feel like you can't package up the value of your practice, you need to figure that out. And it's really difficult to build a brand and then to start producing and packaging those concepts and that content if you're not well organized in your head. Mm-hmm. So when I think about fix your practice, it's more about create more value. Mm-hmm. And one of the really neat things that having a great brand does is it helps you be more focused on your client, and it helps you further develop your niche expertise, the stuff that audience really loves about you and really wants more of. You can increase your value there. So sometimes, you know, I'm saying you got to put the horse before the cart, but it's possible that in going through the branding process and understanding your ideal client better, that you could actually insert that after and increase and add more value because now you have a focus. Mm-hmm. So I just want to be clear about that floating thing. It could go before the 90 branding or it could go after the branding. Anyhow, now we're gonna move on to the second 90-day segment, which is marketing foundation.
Okay.
And so this foundation is really about where do we share, where do we tell, where do we prove your brand? Okay, everybody got that? So share, tell, prove.
Okay.
You got to have a website. Your website doesn't have to be magnificent. It has to be simple. And it has to have all the elements that allow you to achieve what I just said. One is make it easy to share information, make it a place where you can articulate your story and tell it concisely, as concisely as possible, is much appreciated by your audience for sure. And then it's also a place, it becomes your hub. So that's for sharing. It's a place where they can get your message. And then what was the third thing I said?
I didn't write those down, dude. You flew right through those so fast. I didn't have a chance to. I've never heard you say those three before.
I just make this stuff up as I'm going. They're not on my notes either.
That's funny. Dude, you move so quickly through that. I thought this was like, man, this is another one of those Kirk Lowe-isms where you're going to be able to pull that right back out.
The third idea was proof.
There you go. Repeat them again. Go through the three again.
Now I forget the first two.
Oh, come on, dude. The last one's proof. We know that.
Yeah. So you got to have a place where you can share.
There you go.
Your website becomes your marketing hub. A place where you can prove your expertise. Mm-hmm. What was the third one?
Was the third one. That's okay. We'll rewind it later. So don't worry about it. Keep going, man.
So when you're building so the website is absolutely critical. I call it the hub of all your marketing. You got to make sure you do it well, have the right things in place so that you can, it drives the success. The second thing you got to do is you got to have sound social profiles. So go to the networks that you think your clients will be on and make sure that you have solid social profile. So make sure you've got the right imagery, you've got a good photo, you've got the right title, you've got the right region or city identified. You speak to your audience with, you know, and share with what you do. Make sure it's coordinated with what's on your website. You're not really reinventing a ton of stuff here because you've already got your brand, things like that. You just want to make sure you take what you've developed and apply it to your website and your social profiles. You can even prove your stuff on proof of brand on your social profiles, right? You can have a blog running through LinkedIn, for instance. On LinkedIn, you can post a presentation or a video or whatever. Mm-hmm. So you can share ideas there and drive engagement, drive proof of brand, things like that. There's all kinds of good things that your social profile will allow you to do. And that gives you a place where people can find you and a place where people can communicate with you. So it's a very efficient and effective way for you to market your business. And if you think that these aren't going to help you,
you're
mistaken. Yeah. You're probably not listening to this podcast.
That's probably true.
Yeah. So then you got to think about packaging the concepts and the content that you create. So, in the brand, you would have figured out, identified some, you would have brainstormed some concepts. Here's where you start to build those. So if you've got your complete financial house as an example, go find a graphic designer, go to Fiverr, go to, what's the other one you use? Upwork?
Upwork.
Yeah, things like places like that. Behance used to be one. I don't know if they're around anymore, but anyway, there's all kinds of them. Just go find somebody to help you take this concept, draw it on your whiteboard, take a picture. I do it all the time. Mm-hmm. Draw it on your whiteboard, take a picture, share it with them saying, I need you to, find vectorize this. Or go to a place like iStockPhoto.com and look up, go to the selection bar and select illustrations, which means it's a vector image. And then just go type in house. And it'll pull up a whole bunch of vector images of houses and say, you know what? I could take this, have somebody modify this, and you can get those things done a lot quicker. You don't want to do it yourself. Make sure you hand it off, but give that designer something you already can see and say, just make it just like this, right?
Yep.
There's all kinds of neat ways that you can shorten the curve, and that's a big tip I'm sharing with you because I do that all the time, even with our designers that I work with, is I go find something that's going to help them get to a finished product a lot quicker. So that's how you package your concepts. And you're going to want to package your content the same way. So if you've got a paper or a checklist, go make somebody put some design elements around it. Make sure your logo's in there, your colors. Make sure your contact info is in there. And package this stuff up so you can have a thumbnail on your website. Because when you're going to give – you want to give all this stuff to your – to the whoever's building your website, and these are all proof of brand, right? You want to prove your brand? Show me what your process is. When we show somebody this advisor, when we show somebody on their website this complete financial house, the colors, the thoughtfulness, how organized it is, they're gonna love it. It's they're gonna say this guy is complete financial. Holy jumpers,
right?
And then there's gonna be a paper. There's gonna be a checklist. There's all he's gonna be doing his own podcast. I mean, they're gonna come here and say this guy's the real deal.
Well, here's the other piece that communicates, it's the attention to detail, right? I want a financial services professional who has a high quality and a high attention to detail. Great marketing, great packaging, great social profiles, and a great website really do sing your praises without you having to sing them firsthand. It makes you look very organized. It makes you look like your stuff's together. And it really does build an enormous amount of credibility before they even pick up the phone.
Yeah. It blows people away and it's not that hard to accomplish. I mean, you got 90 days to figure this stuff out. Take or leave another, 30 days, but you've got time here to get this done, do it right. And you don't have to do it all in the first year, in the first 90 days. So, get something and start with it and move on. You got to figure out your call to actions in this stage too. So if you're going to put this on your website, what's your call to action going to be? It's going to be a paper, a checklist, a webinar. If you want to show your a PDF of your complete financial house, do you want people to be able to download that? You want to grab their email address for it or just give it away? You got to think about all these things, right? You're going to have a podcast on there. What are you going to name your podcast? You got to think about all these things, but just you know, kind of knock them off and get this foundation built. And then you want to make sure you put some tracking stuff in place on your website. So just best thing to do is go get Google Analytics. It's free. It's amazing. And, you know, do a little bit of SEO just so that you're easier to find. I wouldn't spend a great deal of time trying to get all your meta to get to do some complex, hire some big SEO company to do some complex SEO. Get the simple basic stuff done so that Google can recognize you and your site is efficiently displayed. So go to that's a, called a a Google My Business listing, and go get a Google Search Console. I'm getting kind of detailed here, but these are some simple things that you want to have in place for your marketing foundation, and then have and then make sure you understand your tactics and your strategies, which we're going to talk about as the activity in the next 90-day segment.
All right. Well, let's just jump right in, because I think that's a magnificent segue. So the first 90 days, you're going to be focusing on your brand, and then you're going to be focused on your marketing foundation, and now you're going to be working on activity, which does have to do with the tactics. So let's start walking everybody through this.
Yeah. So this is where you're the kind of the rubber meets the road. I like think that's one of the analogies, and I haven't killed any animals in this analogy, so I'm better than Matt. Nicer than that.
Nicer. Yeah, better. Come on, dude. Those are fighting
words. So somebody who's – this is the first podcaster. Like, what is he going about? Matt gives analogies all the time where, you know, an easy way to skin a cat. What's the skin the cat one that you always say?
There's no one way to skin a cat.
Yeah, exactly. Just mean. Anyhow, so marketing activity, here we go. So there's content. You've got to be constantly producing content. I'm going to tell you that one of the best ways you can produce content, because I've been here for a lot of years with advisors, is to do exactly what we're doing right here and you're listening to. Consider doing a podcast. There's ways to do it on your own. If you go to advisorcontentx.com, there is a complete guide to starting your own podcast. It's 27 pages. There's a lot of great stuff in there, and that's a pretty cool way to get started. Mm-hmm. Okay. There's podcast companies. ECX is one of them, advisorcontentx.com. But consider how you're going to push content all the time, out all the time. If you can't produce content, you don't have a great way of getting in front of people, because you can't just keep saying, hey, I'm here if you're thinking about doing business, or hey, do you want a free consultation? That's too big of an ask, and there's no value in that. It's all about you, not about them. So you got to be sharing all your wisdom with them as generously and as often as you can.
Mm-hmm.
As long as what you're sharing is of a great value, you can do it more often. If you don't have a lot to share, then just share less frequently. Mm-hmm. But consider doing a podcast, stuff like that. You've got to take all the content, all your packaged concepts, all your packaged content, so your papers. So everything that you do that becomes a tangible piece of content that proves your brand. So that may be a financial planning process. It might be your investment philosophy. I'm given there's other things you can build around that. Or it could be your paper. It could be your checklist. It could be the fact that you've got a presentation for a webinar that you give everybody if they want to look at it on their own, or an on-demand webinar where you've actually just recorded it so they can get it when they want.
Mm-hmm.
It could be your blog posts. It could be your podcasts. All of that information is content, and you need to push that out through your social channels.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing you got to do is you got to go listen to our five boosts.
Yeah.
That podcast.
Yep.
Which should be one or two prior to this episode. Got to listen to that, because I teach you we talk about how to build your social networks. And a lot of people think, oh, how am I going to, you know, like, they act as if you got to advertise. You already got a huge network. You just haven't applied it yet.
That's right.
So make sure everybody gets. So we give some really good ideas in that podcast about how to do that. So make sure that you're building your social network and you're sharing really good stuff through your network all the time. When people see that, like that, comment on it, then all their people see it. That's how you grow. If you're not doing that, you're crazy.
Mm-hmm.
You're not marketing if you're not doing that.
Well, and statistically, too, I'm sorry to interrupt, but statistically, especially if you are marketing directly to the general public, so if you're B2C, one out of every 8 minutes spent online is spent on Facebook. Guys, if you're not on Facebook, you don't exist. The search engine in Facebook now is starting to get used so much more. I don't actually have this. I was just reading the article based on the statistic, but it's not – as big as Google, but people, when they want something nowadays, they're already on Facebook. So what they do is they Google, they use Facebook search algorithm, and all of the sudden, you know, if you're not there, you don't exist in, you know, about half of the population in the States and in Canada's mind. So you got to be there. You got to be there omnipresent, ever present, right? That's one of the things that you talk about. Make sure that you're putting things out there on a regular basis, because you're only there and you're only existing in their mind when they are on the social media. If they like, if they don't want to listen to you, then they swipe past you. If they want to listen to you, then they click on it, right? And we can get analytics on all of that stuff, which Kirk talked about a little with the 90 Days Marketing Foundation, getting your SEO and your tracking mechanisms up in place. But Kirk, you always talk about the four major things with branding, right? And you just talked about publicity. You're going to talk about really nurturing. So can you walk everybody back through your branding process, or really what a brand is supposed to do for you? And then let's talk a little bit more about
marketing blueprint for financial advisors.
Yeah.
So there's four stages to that. And the first stage is attract. Mm-hmm. Second stage is intrigue. Third stage is engage. And the fourth stage is influence.
Right.
What we're doing here, that's how they unfold when they're implemented. That's how a client would go through that, right? Or a prospect, if you will. But you don't build it that way, because you can't just start, you know, attracting people without a good, without an intriguing thing where you can't engage and you don't have a process to influence. Sure. So basically what we have here, branding is the intrigue stage,
mm-hmm.
right? Mark your website and all the package content and calls to action, all that stuff. That's your engagement phase. Mm-hmm. So we may give people different ways to engage us and start experience us, prove our brand, all that kind of stuff. And the marketing activity, that's really the influence. This is where we keep pushing out content, where we're engaged socially, where we're using social networks to push our message out and create conversations, expand our network, all those kinds of things. And the next, so that's how that blueprint applies. So we're applying that blueprint when we do this.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want to, you know, throw that in, but I'm glad you did.
Well, I just think it's important, because that's a core understanding of the foundation of not only KirkLowe.com, but TactiBrand. And we are always coming back to some of that. So the better our listeners can grasp those four major aspects of the marketing blueprint, I do believe you know, they're just going to be better marketers and better branders at the beginning. So we've talked about marketing activity with content, social. Let's talk about publicity and really, I mean, do people still use email? Talk about those things.
So the next couple items here. So publicity, neither you nor I have active PR people. A PR person can help you a lot. We know a couple of good ones, Marie Swift, Bill Bongiorno. You know, there's some good people that can help you if your firm wants to really push the PR tactic, if you will, or strategy. I'd say it's more of a tactic. But you can do it on your own just organically by being out there and being smart. People come to you because, you know, like I get writers who come to me and say, hey, I read your couple of articles on branding 101. And I'm writing an article about advisor branding, you know, can you spend some time, you know, or occasionally, you know, we just contribute stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you can organically grow publicity, but be open to it, be ready. The two or three, is it? The couple of podcasts that we did with Veronica Dagger.
Yeah, Matt Ackerman.
Matt Ackerman. Did we do another one or just those two?
Actually, so you had just brought up Murray Swift, who I'm getting her scheduled right now. And then Jason Lajeda. And Jason Lajeda is the managing partner of FICOM Partners. So I've got a couple of other people. Oh, no, Robert Sophia. Robert Sophia's podcast was magnificent when it came to that, too.
Yeah. I mean, we bring other people on that have all kinds of ideas on how to be great at publicity. So make sure you go listen to those podcasts. But publicity you can be aggressive with it and go hire somebody, or you can just be so good that people are coming to you occasionally. And you don't need to force it. If you want to create your own, start building your own list of editors and things like that, and publications or websites that your audience hangs out on, you can start to build that own list on your own.
Sure. And then follow them on Twitter. Just very quick little nugget here. Follow them on Twitter. And goodness gracious, and if you immediately respond to something after they they post something, that is where almost every news person gets leads, is through Twitter. So, all right. Okay. So there's publicity. What about, so we've talked about social media and a great website. I mean, do you want in a marketing activity for people to still do push emails and to do events?
Yeah, there's a couple of reasons that emails work really well. Emails are a great way to remind people that you're doing all these other things, right? You could say, hey, here's my podcast. Oh, here's my blog post. Oh, here's, don't forget about our paper or our checklist. Or by the way, don't forget we were running a webinar. Or here's the webinar we did last month. Record it if you want to share it with your friends or you want to listen to it yourself. You know, not everybody on your list is going to be a client, right? Some are prospects, some are centers of influence. So email, I find, is a great top of mind tool. Usually when you're sharing through social, it's usually new stuff or it's smaller stuff, but this is a great way to say, hey, here's all the stuff we're doing and blow people away, but do it in a way that's a little less formal. I mean, you can do it in HTML, make it organized, but you want to, it's a great way to connect with people who maybe haven't been on Facebook for a month or so, right?
Okay, sure.
Something like that. I mean, I'm not on Facebook all the time, but I'm on LinkedIn quite a bit, Twitter. I'm more active on those than I am Facebook, but it's anyway, that's the way it is. So figure that out. And so email is a great tool. The other way, I think there's two other ways you can use email as well. One is if you've got something new that you want to do. So if you want to do a webinar and you want to invite everybody because it's timely, email is a great way to do that. Just make sure you give people some value. So it's not all about you, them showing up on your thing where they feel like they're going to be sold to.
Sure.
So make sure you share what you're going to do, tell them what they're going to get, and make sure they can see as much value as possible so that it feels highly educational and not like it's going to be a sales opportunity. But use email to get people to come to events is another one. Mm-hmm. And a third way to use email, which is really powerful, is to create nurture sequences. So if somebody comes to your site, they clicked on one of your packaged concepts or packaged content like a paper. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's and this may be a little bit easier for most advisors a little bit down the road. So maybe closer to the end of the 90-day segment where you can say, hey, look, you downloaded this paper, right? Can you see it? Sometimes we share a video when we're doing this. My hands are moving around here, so I'm becoming a lot more like Matt. It's crazy. Anyway, so if when you get to the nurture sequence part, it's like, hey, you downloaded this paper about this subject. You might also be interested in this mm-hmm. podcast mm-hmm. I did a month ago and where I got into more detail about this. And by the way, here's a quick little checklist that I use in my practice. It's not actually on my website, but you might find this really helpful. It's 7 questions before your kids go to think about, you know, 7 reasons to on educational planning for your kids and why you. Oh, well, anyway, you know what I mean? You can just keep going and going. And then I also found this article on Forbes.com a year ago. I've bookmarked it because I think it was an incredible story about a family and grandparents and college education and what a value legacy it was and how they did it, blah, blah, blah. So you can take – and if what you do is you set up those nurture emails to be automated to go out. It's like this incredible follow-up mechanism that doesn't really cost you much money to set up and it costs you nothing to run.
Right.
Because one of the most difficult things in sales, and you can speak to this at nauseam, I'm just kidding you, at length, about how people are not good at following up.
Right.
And a lot of people lose business simply because they don't follow up. But a nurture sequence is a really – It's an incredible technology friend in that regard.
Right. And you can use some very, very inexpensive programs. MailChimp is fantastic. Constant Contact has these email chain sort of things. And once they get into your system, now it does take a little while to build, right? And I don't necessarily think it's the best use of the advisor's time to build them from actually build them in the programs. But once somebody downloads that first white paper that sends that chain of events, and you can even do, you can turn it on, you can turn it off. If they become a client, you turn it off. I mean, there's some great things. And Kirk, you're a pro at that. I know that some of the nurture sequences that you've set up for advisors and that you, that we actually both do, from a business perspective has really helped. And I think if you and I both practice what we preached a little bit more here, you know, our businesses would be to the point where we probably wouldn't be doing this podcast, because we'd just be overwhelmingly busy. But
let's, dude, I'd be on an island.
I'd probably be on a boat.
You. I was actually you want to have a beer. I'm just kidding you. We do this stuff.
Yeah, we dude. See, well, I mean, we do. Right. We do it. But I don't, I mean, again, we're not in a high volume. You know, we're not looking for 250 client households to work with. Right. That's not what you and I both do. We are very boutique niche, you know, service providers within financial services. But we still want to nurture. And in fact, I would challenge having an automated nurture campaign, because I do it manually. And the way that I do it manually is through social media. So I do it, and I pretty much spend all my time on LinkedIn professionally, because I'm B2B, right? Just like you are. That's why I don't spend a lot of time on Facebook. So for, I do it socially, but not on business. So, you know, when somebody, I get notifications when somebody interacts with a post of mine, that's a great opportunity for me to say, hey, Kirk, I noticed that you just liked this last article I posted. I would love to have a conversation with you. And now I'm a little bit more aggressive than some people, but honestly, I have gotten more business from doing that. In fact, about a year and a half ago, you told me I needed to write more. And so I started writing a lot more on LinkedIn. And I can say that I've probably closed over $100,000 in business just because of the articles that I'm posting on LinkedIn. And that's all because I know that I have to get my thought leadership out there. I know that I have a voice that's different, and that is unique. I have my own niche. And I followed these 270 days to, you know, this amazing marketing plan. And I think if everybody took the time to do that too, that they would be in a different place where they didn't have to spend money on seminars and they didn't have to do all of these things where they're just throwing money up against the wall and not really getting a great result.
You could do seminars. I just don't find it's a great, the most efficient and effective, like money, like results per investment. I don't find seminars, they're pretty tough. I think a webinar is way more practical.
Sure.
You may not get numbers, but you didn't have to spend as much money. Now, some people are so good at seminars. They've got this little niche, you know, incredible place at a library with a big fireplace in it or a beautiful view or something, and they can just pull these things off so efficiently that, you know, but there's not, I don't know, they're not easy to.
And it isn't for everybody. You have to be a great speaker. You really do need to have a great list, and you need to have the capital up front. I mean, your cost per client acquisition for a seminar is much, much higher than anything that Kirk is talking about, even if you hired Kirk and Tacta Brand to help you build this. It's still going to be less expensive than, you know, a good 18 months of seminars. So a little plug for you there, Kirk. So
our hope is that we've lined this up in these 90-day segments, so it feels, hopefully, I mean, that was a lot of stuff, but hopefully you understand the sequence of how to build these things. Mm-hmm. And then you don't have to do everything in each of them. I mean, I was clear about things you absolutely needed to have, but you don't have to have four papers or, you know, just do what you can, but have, you know, check the boxes, but don't go overboard with anything, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. All right. Closing statement, sir. What do you got?
Well, if you want to build anything great, you got to do it in steps. I like this idea that when you're building marketing, you do it in what you do in the first 90 days should make the second 90 days better. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. So you're building on top of it, not just doing another activity. And I find a lot of financial marketing that happens is a whole bunch of silos beside each other. But imagine if you took a step, a block, and then you put another one on top of it and another one on top of it. Kind of like when you go to the Olympic Games and they, you know, the bronze is down here, silver, silver, and gold. They're kind of building on top of each other. Think about your marketing like that.
Absolutely.
So we could have renamed this Olympic
Marketing in 270 days. Olympic
marketing? Oh, that's bad. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Anyway, so you got to – but if you can create momentum in the first 90 days – that is huge for your second 90 days, and your third 90 days isn't even possible without the first 180 days. It makes sense.
Yeah.
That's how you know you're building great marketing, when it all builds on top of each other, because that is telling you it's super coordinated, integrated, whatever you want to call it. Mm-hmm. And that's what great marketing is. It just builds on top of each other. And then when you get this thing humming, it does the same thing, right? Somebody sees your article on Facebook, and then you got an event comes up, and they say, wow, that's pretty great. I'm going to like that, or I'm going to share it. Mm-hmm. And their audience sees it. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing there. You're just expanding. It's like that Clairol commercial. No, what's that? That's hair. What's that hair commercial?
I don't know. We're both bald. What are you doing with hair commercials? Seriously, friends. Dude.
Natil Two Friends.
Oh yeah. Okay, that's true. Is it Clairol? Isn't that a I don't know, an Amway sort of thing? Isn't that the multi-level marketing philosophy?
It was the hair coloring or something commercial.
Oh, dear God, dude. I don't look at hair coloring commercials, but you've seen me.
It's such a bad commercial, but but so memorable.
Yeah.
Anyway, you don't need anything chintzy like that for your marketing brand, certainly. But just do solid stuff. Have mm-hmm. good value. Package that value. Articulate that value. Build the platform to share it. And then start sharing the stuff. Well, it'll happen for you.
And it will. And there's a great Zen saying that kind of slams Americans, but it's a very applicable situation here. So when an American wants to go ahead and climb a mountain, the American will go to REI and buy everything. Okay. When a person who studies Zen Buddhism wants to climb a mountain, the first thing that they do is take one step toward the mountain. And so the more steps you take toward this mountain, first off, the better off you're going to be. You're going to be making progress. Don't just throw a bunch of money at all of this stuff. You have to understand that it is work, but it's good work. It's important work. And if it's done correctly, everything changes. So with that, thank you very much for joining us today on Top Advisor Marketing Podcast, brought to you by Advisor Content X. I'm Matt Halloran for Kirk Lowe. Remember, if you don't have a great brand and great marketing, you only contribute to the noise in our industry. Rise above the noise and become a top advisor.